You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, the quarterbacks spoke today at the NFL Combine. We will listen and react with you right here on ESPN Radio with Jonathan Zaslow in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We appreciate your time here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as we are presented in part by Progressive Insurance. Zaz, good to have you back with us on a Friday evening. A happy hour has begun whenever you really truly need it to.
Yes.
As the weekend here is upon us. And thanks for coming and suffering with us as we have put James Steele, our producer, already through the inner rings of Dante's Inferno in our pre-show meeting. How you been, Zaz?
No suffering whatsoever. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to see you. I like ending my week like this. We'll bang out some hours talking sports, and then we relax on the couch. We'll get after it. I'm here for it.
Let's go, man. And coming up in about 15 minutes, one of the best coaches in all of hoop, football, you name it, will join us right here coming up at 7:15 Eastern Time, 4:15 Pacific. You don't want to miss one of the best coaches in all of sports right here with Zaz and I here on ESPN Radio. But let's begin with the quarterbacks in the upcoming NFL draft. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, they all spoke today at the NFL Combine. Let's begin with the top three and Caleb Williams. And is this a young man that is not taking medicals at the Combine? And for people who don't know, the late, great Gil Brandt is the one who actually came up with the NFL Combine. Former Dallas Cowboys executive with the late, great Tex Schramm. They were trying to save money when the NFL wasn't making a lot of money way back when, right? So in the 70s and 80s, and they tried to figure out how could we get medicals and personnel and personality and get one-on-ones with every college athlete coming into the NFL instead of having every NFL team go from campus to campus. And the late, great Gil Brandt is the one that came up with the NFL Combine. And the number one reason? Medicals. By far, bar none. Gil became a friend of ours, Zaz, and he has told that story a million times. That was the number one purpose of the NFL Combine. That and getting quarterbacks on a grease board. Right. Well,
but so they weren't going around carrying all of these
exactly. Medical
folders.
Right. And, you know, and having to go and you know, use, you know, university, you know, medical facilities, you name it.
Yeah.
That was the number one reason. Well, Caleb decided, you know what, I'm not going to do medicals today. And you would have thought the world stopped rotating on its axis.
But why is that, though? Why did he decide we're not going to do this?
He addressed that. He actually said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, look, you know, there's only five or six teams that are really interested in grabbing me. So instead of doing something for all 32, I will do medicals for every team that is actually interested in drafting me, which makes perfect sense. Instead of spending all that time, you know, going from team to team and doing medicals, he said, you know what, I'll do individuals, whomever is really interested. Which also, by the way, for his group, right, you really now know who is interested in drafting Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. So he's narrowed, in their mind, they've narrowed down how many teams are truly interested in pursuing his services at the next level. So that's one aspect of it. I was a little bit surprised at first. Then when he explained it, all right, I got it.
Makes sense.
It's almost like a chessboard, right?
Yeah.
Who's interested in me? Now you truly know. Well, Caleb Williams also talked about what he has told the teams that he's met with about him, the person, the player, and why he's missing meds. Here's Caleb Williams.
The main thing that I've, you know, if they ask me or if it comes up, the main thing that I've said, I want to go to a place that wants to win. A whole, you know, 360. So meaning from the top all the way to, you know, the guys, and down to the janitors, the people that that you know make everything run. You know, it's just everybody wants to win. Everybody's a part of that, and you know, we all take care of each other.
Look, the only knock I have on this young man's ass, and I'm curious to get your thoughts, is when he painted the four letters that began with an F and ended with a K on one hand and then Utah on the other in the Pac-12 title game, right? On his fingernails. That was immature as hell. And that was the second time he'd done it, not just with Utah, but with other team or with another team. That is something that Lincoln Riley probably should have gotten a hold of last year as his head coach at USC and said, man, don't do that. It's not good optics, right?
But you thought all the other stuff was way overblown. The sitting on the bench, the crying
I was there,
with the mother.
Standing there. Yes. I did both those games. Mm-hmm. The dude wants to win for everybody around him, not just the man in the mirror. The man in the mirror is last. The whole painting of the fingernails was very immature in my opinion. Other than that, I can't knock the guy. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, you can – the place where I think where people knock him is when we start throwing around the generational QB term. We don't hear that all that often. I mean, the last one of those generational QBs, I think that worked out. We probably got to go to Andrew Luck, right? That was probably the last one.
Correct.
So when we hear generational QB, I think we start to look for some things, not necessarily like the example you just gave, but the two that I mentioned there were sitting on the bench by himself. Okay, he only cares about himself. Crying in the stands after the game. Okay, he only cares about himself because he's not crying with his teammates. He's crying with his family. So I think we try and look for stuff like that when we're talking about such a high bar that we're setting with generational quarterback. I think it's unfair, obviously. I don't really see – and I know – he, you know, there were games last year, the Notre Dame game, there were games last year where he didn't look like a generational quarterback per se, but it's interesting where these guys, they don't have to come out these finished products, you know, in year number one, in the rookie year. There is going to be gradual growth with these guys. So even if he wasn't great every single game, I don't see any real issues with the, I guess, the expectation on Caleb Williams coming into the league.
Yeah, and those two instances you mentioned, I was there for both of those. One, you know, for the Utah game, he was standing cheering on his defense, and then that camera caught him 5 seconds later after the kick went through the uprights to end the game. Utah
I never
wins.
Understood the criticism
yeah,
on that.
Why are you ripping a kid for being passionate about winning and losing? Then you have Jaden Daniels, former LSU quarterback, who set records, first 12,000-yard passer and 3,000-yard rusher in the history of college football as a quarterback. Jaden Daniels and the possibility of going number one overall. Here he is.
If you end up being picked by the Bears, what would it be like to be in Chicago?
It would be dope. You know, this Chicago, obviously, there's a lot of greats that came that played professional sports in Chicago, so it would be dope.
And what about the Commanders?
Yeah, Commanders too. You know, be able to follow the lineage of, you know, guys like Doug Williams, you know, won a Super Bowl there, and hopefully, you know, be able to just turn around the city.
Ian, are we just in that phase right now before the draft where we need these talking points, so we're hearing a little bit of, could Jaden Daniels actually go number one? Is Jaden Daniels a guy who maybe the Bears should consider at number one overall? Because, I mean, there's no real possibility of that. I feel like we're in that news cycle right now where, all right, we got to talk about this for a couple of days.
Yeah, and to your point, it's all in the eye of the beholder. I mentioned this last night, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it all the way up to the NFL draft. You know, Dan Orlovsky likes Jaden Daniels as the best, you know, quarterback prospect. Mel Kiper and so many others like Caleb Williams. Tim Hasselbeck likes Drake May, who we'll hear from coming up later on in the program. It's all in the eye of the beholder. But I'll tell you this, it is a deep quarterback draft. It's a deep, and I do mean deep, like Grand Canyon deep, wide receiver and offensive line draft. But if you ain't got a quarterback, you ain't got a shot. And we'll bring in a former NFL executive to talk about that very thing coming up in hour number two. But coming up next, when you return, one of the best head coaches in the country joins us right here on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jonathan Zaslow in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. And Zaz, we have a remarkable college basketball slate tomorrow. And one of the highlights, it's a top 15 matchup. And it's a sports hate. This is a rivalry that most of America really needs to get on board with. It is Kansas. It is Baylor. And the three-time Big 12 Coach of the Year, he won it all just a few years ago for the Baylor Bears. He's a great friend of ours. He's been there for 20 years, which is amazing. 20 years. Scott Drew joins us now here on ESPN Radio to get you ready for a remarkable weekend in college basketball. And, Coach, thank you so much for your time. I mean, when I say – before we get into ball and everything else – when I say 20 years as the head coach at Baylor, what's that mean to you? Because we know other schools have come calling.
It means I'm getting old. So I heard this stat. We've had 54-plus players play professional basketball. And I start thinking, man, when you've been in a place 20-plus years, it's hard to remember 54. That's a lot of guys. So, But it's a lot of success. Because we've had great staff, assistant coaches, trainers, strength coach, great players. And what's really cool is some of them now are having some really talented kids that were recruiting. So that really makes you feel old, by the way.
Wow.
Coach, when you do get promoted to the job 20 years ago, I mean, do you even allow yourself to think about what it's going to look like several years down the road, let alone this many years down the road, and still the head coach?
Well, I think everybody's got a plan, and usually that plan involves 1 year at a time, because in college basketball, things change really quick. We've just been blessed to, again, have great people and great players and coaches, and because of that, everyone's sacrificing for the team. We've been able to accomplish a lot. And to see the past players come back and to see them get recognized by the fans and appreciated for what they've done for Baylor basketball, that's like a parent when you have kids come home and everybody's excited in the neighborhood to see them. It makes you really feel good.
We mentioned, Coach, that speaking of feeling good, you won it all in 2021. So, obviously the tourney.
Yeah, that was a good feeling.
Euphoric, right? I mean, it doesn't get any better.
Yeah.
When it comes to, championship week is on the horizon. The tourney will be here before we know it. For that fringe fan or the diehard fan that wonders, what does it truly take to go and win a national championship in college basketball? You've been there and done it. What does it take?
Well, first, if you don't have a great team, players, staff, you got no chance. Second, when you do get to March, there are a lot of distractions in the teams that can really handle those and be able to lock in and focus on scouting reports, attention to detail, and stay in the moment. Those teams have the best chance to be successful. And a lot of times the best teams don't always win, and that's why it's March Madness. And if we wanted the best teams to win, everything would be 4 out of 7 or 3 out of 5. So you really got to be on point for that 40 minutes to do everything you can to make sure you survive in advance. And obviously it's a stressful month, and that's where probably the last point comes in, and that is teams that really like one another, they want to keep playing, and usually that can be something that gives you an edge in a couple close games, because these are long seasons. It's year-round sports now, and some teams by this time of year are ready for the next year and ready to get on with their lives and get away from some guys on the team. And if you got a team that really likes one another and wants to fight for each other, it gives you a better chance to be successful.
Coach, when we get to March, and today being March 1, so we're there, do you usually know, okay, this is a team that I think we could make a run this year? Like, did you know that in 21, that when March rolled around, that was a team that you feel can make a run?
Well, actually, the year before that, we had won 23 games in a row, and we're going to be a number one seed. And then the tournament got canceled because of COVID. And then the year we won it all, either we won 19 in a row or 21 in a row. And obviously I knew that team had a chance to win it all. And then the year after that, we started out 15-0, and then we ended up having three season-ending injuries, one to Jonathan Chamwachachua, who was Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. One was to our third leading scorer at the time, L.J. Cryer, and then Langston Love had torn ACL and was out for the year. And I thought that team had a chance to even with those injuries, we're a number one seed and lost to North Carolina at the buzzer, and went to overtime and then lost to them, and they went to the championship game. So those 3 years right in a row, you could have won it all. And then since that time, with the transfer portal and everything changing, really, I think now more than ever, there's more teams that have an opportunity. And you've seen teams be last four in and make it to a Final Four, but I think more than ever, you have anybody in it's got a chance to win it, and every coach comes up with a game plan that if they execute it, they can advance. Now the question is, can you do it for six games? And that's what March Madness is all about.
He's a three-time Big 12 Coach of the Year, Baylor head coach Scott Drew, joining us here on ESPN Radio with Jonathan Zaslow. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons, getting you ready for a remarkable weekend in college basketball. And this rivalry with Kansas, Coach, I mean, it has truly blossomed between your two schools. If you can, take us behind the scenes. What is this like for a coach and your players to go, you know, let's go get it again, man. Swap some blood, a little sweat, and try and get a dub.
Well, Kansas has always been a great program in the Big 12, but really what's made the Big 12 special has been all the other teams improving, and there is no bottom. And from that, you have both of us winning national championships. You had the year before that, Texas Tech making it to the championship game. So a lot of different success across the board. If you look at us in Kansas, you go back to 2008, and we're the only two teams that have won 18 or more games a year. So both wow. consistently good. You look at the last 4 years, they've won three Big 12 titles. We won two because we shared one. We're 4-5 against them, and have split the last 4 years or 5 years. So a lot of, I think we're two of the only four schools to win a game in a tournament the last 4 years. And then, you can go up and down with a bunch of more, numbers, but, that Kansas has done a great job, in making the Big 12 so visible, but really top to bottom, as the league's improved, that's what's made it where we're the number one ranked league, and once again ranked the number one league this year.
You rattle off that. I mean, all those remarkable statistics, and if you ever watch these two go at it, it is hypnotic. How do you?
Well,
switch
I got one more for you. I got
come
one
on,
more.
Come
in
on,
the last
Coach.
Five
come
years,
on.
Both of us are the two winningest Power Five programs in the country. We're one, and they're two.
I can't wait for tomorrow. I mean, 1 o'clock Eastern, noon Central in Waco, man, on ABC. It's number 7 Kansas against number 15 Baylor. Just go ahead. Whatever you have to do in the morning, change the baby's diapers, take out the trash, whatever you have to do, be ready for 1 o'clock Eastern, noon Waco time for Kansas Baylor. What is your sleep pattern like the night before you go up against the Jayhawks?
Well, the night before is always a great night for me because he's in the barn. You've done all your prepping. You're ready. You go to bed. The next night's a problem because you win and you're too excited, or you lose and you're too mad. So I think the whole next day for the whole Big 12 season's a mess. But the night before is usually a good night.
Coach, what's the week like on campus leading into tomorrow afternoon when Kansas is coming to town? Is there a buzz on campus throughout the week?
Oh, there's a real buzz because we're on spring break this weekend. Everybody's glad they're done with classes. So, yeah, they're really excited.
There's two kinds of buzzes, right? One for basketball and then the whole spring break buzz. So
hey, we're the largest Baptist school. We don't do those buzzes.
My bad, Coach. There you go. My fault. Hey, by the way, you're a brilliant basketball mind. When you hear the name, because Caitlin Clark just announced she's going to the WNBA and foregoing her last year at Iowa. When you hear the name Caitlin Clark, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Bucket getter.
Yeah, right.
So, man, she's fun to watch. I tell you, the highlights on ESPN are amazing, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, she's done so much. You can argue she may be the most popular basketball player in all of college basketball, men's or women's, from what she's done for the game. All right, last one, Coach, and we'll turn you loose. If you had a gut pack at VTX for lunch and then crazy wings at George's for dinner, how are you feeling the next day?
Great.
Can you describe to America
two,
what I just mentioned?
Those finest right there. That's good stuff.
If you can you describe to everyone listening what I just mentioned to you and what it takes to get those babies down?
Hey, well, just put it this way. Things that taste really, really good often aren't really good for you. So put them in that category.
That's it. And by the way, hey, Coach, Zaz just ordered up Uber Eats, Gut Packs, and Crazy Wings to the Kansas Hotel.
Go.
So there you go, man. You're good.
There you go.
I love it.
Thank you, Coach. We always enjoy the visits, man. Good luck tomorrow.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Have a blessed day.
It's
Thanks.
Our pleasure, Coach. You know that, man. Scott Drew, head coach, Baylor Bears, here with us. Top 15 matchup in Waco tomorrow. Baylor Zaz, a 4.5-point favorite in that game.
We've seen that a lot this year, though. It doesn't even necessarily matter which top 25 team you're playing. If you're at home, you're giving points. The top 25s, they
especially
fall
that conference
this year.
In the Big 12. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, man! By the way, Kansas fans, we were joking. Zaz did not order gut packs and crazy wings to Kansas Hotel, but your coaching staff and your training staff would love it. Players, yeah, it may be a little heavy tomorrow morning, especially for a noon Central tip. By the way, bet to your hands bleed on that one.
Ooh.
I'll take the Bears. Give me Baylor -4, and tonight tip time coming up in about 6 minutes. Boston and Dallas. Celtics, Mavs, give me Boston. I'll lay the 8.5, buy it down to 8. Give me the C's over the Mavs. All right, coming up next, a Super Bowl champion responds to accusations of leaking game plans to opponents when you return here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
What you're about to hear makes absolutely zero sense to me.
Okay.
Can't speak for my co-host, Jonathan Zaslow, who's in for Amber Wilson tonight here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. Sauce Gardner, all-pro corner, New York Jets.
Good player.
You think? Just kind of put some respect on that, right?
Offhand commentary.
Like that scene in Hannibal where whatever his name is, the cripple guy, right? Who's paying?
Oh yeah, Gary Oldman played him.
Saying to the CIA director, put some respect on the number, $500,000, right? Yeah, put some respect on Sauce Gardner, right? I mean,
is that right?
A good
before
player,
he fed him to the pigs.
Exactly right. That guy. You know, put some respect on that man because he's one of the best cover corners in all of football.
Mm-hmm.
He basically accused Mecole Hardman, former teammate, Kansas City Chiefs, game-winning, you know, obviously Super Bowl-winning touchdown in overtime, of leaking their game plan to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles when Mecole Hardman was a New York Jet.
I mean, I don't think he accused. I think he pointed the finger and said, that guy did this.
So, my question is, why in the world would Mecole Hardman do this? Now, the conspiracy theories are the Philadelphia Dogs, meaning the Georgia Bulldogs. Hardman went to Georgia, played with Georgia, and there are too many Georgia Bulldogs on the Philadelphia Eagles roster to go ahead and count. From Jordan Davis to, I mean, go on down the list, right? I mean, it's riddled with Georgia Bulldogs. That's what they're called, the Philly Dogs. Meaning that group of players of the last two drafts.
Okay.
Kansas City, obviously, Hardman played for him, has friends there. So the conspiracy theorists, that's where they're pointing to on Sauce Gardner's accusation that he was leaking game plans to those two teams. When you saw this story, your initial reaction?
Okay, well, and by the way, I'll also add, Sauce Gardner is not the only one to throw this accusation out there about Mecole Hardman leaking offensive game plans to the Chiefs and to the Eagles. I don't remember which story it was in, but this came out late in the season that this was a thing that was known around the Jets locker room, or at least thought to be true around the Jets locker room, that Mecole Hardman had released offensive game plan to a couple of the teams. We already know, based on his own words, we already know that Mecole Hardman wanted to be traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, and of course that's what ended up happening. My guess would be, because of what you just said as well, the relationship to players on the Eagles, that at the time, don't forget, when the Jets traded Mecole Hardman to Kansas City, they were either 3-2 at the time, or 2-3 at the time, or 3-3 at the time. It was really early in the season. So the timeline matches up also with, yeah, the Eagles were like 6-0 at the time, or whatever it was. They were really, really good at that time as well as before
after
the
week
bottom.
11, they were 10-1. So they were rolling at that time.
Right. So the Eagles were still awesome at the time that Mecole Hardman wanted out. So it's quite possible that there were two teams that he wanted to, in his words, come get him, that being the Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. So I don't know if there's incentive. It's like, hey, if you come get, look, I'm doing this is, you know, I'm going to be a good soldier here for you before you even trade for me. I'm going to give you some offensive game plan. All right, here's a little, you know, goodwill, and then hopefully you can come and get me. That would be the conspiracy theory that I would probably lean on.
That's thin, dude. That's thin.
Yes, it is thin, but Ian, that's a hell of an accusation that Sauce Gardner. That's not an anonymous source. Sauce Gardner put his name on it and pointed the finger at Mecole Hardman and said, yeah, but we're not going to talk about how you did this.
All right, so let's get into it. And you can weigh in on this conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I have four simple questions for you, Zaz, because I find it very hard for a professional athlete, knowing that if he did this, he's ostracized. Like, let's just stay in draft context, right, with the combine going on and the next big event for the NFL is the NFL draft coming up in April, right? So every NFL team, if you are undraftable, they will put you in the proverbial box. So you might be number one on their board talent-wise, but if there's a box around your name, you are deemed undraftable.
So like the guy who thinks we're living in a dome, that there's no space, that guy, like he in the box.
Tyler Owens,
that guy,
DB,
right?
Yeah. Texas Tech, right? You're going to put him in the box, even though he's a pretty good DB. Okay. But anyway, yes, but he believes there are no planets and we
live
are
in a dome.
Alone.
Right. This is biodome. Yeah,
right.
that's
for the most
our
part,
lives.
Yes. Yeah. Look up. That is a screen above you. Those aren't stars and that's not a moon. Anyway, my questions to you are simple. One, why do this if you're Mecole Hardman? Two, do you believe he did? Three, what would you do if he did? And four, if you are Mecole Hardman and you know you didn't, what would you do? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's take them in order. Zaz, number one, why would he do this?
Lover scorned. Like, you're
he's a professional athlete. That's still thin. That's so thin, man.
Well, it only took 5 games into the season on his new team for him to be of the mindset that I got to get out of here. I hate it here so much. He didn't exactly give it very much time. Also, you had a rookie who took his job or one of his responsibilities.
Xavier Gibson.
Yeah, which would have been one of his responsibilities. He got beat out by a rookie, and within 5 games, his own words, was already asking the Kansas City Chiefs to come get him. So who knows how angry he is if that early into his tenure with the Jets, He's already wanting out. Love or Scorned would be the first place I would
okay.
go there.
That is all. That's still thin, knowing that you are ostracized and you will never be allowed in another NFL locker room ever again if he did that. So I'm still going. I understand that's a good reason. Still going thin. Two.
Now, also, by the way, we can point out that there's a difference between allowing another team to know the game plan in this scenario that's being, you know, fingers pointed at Mecole Hardman, and the difference between when a guy is released in the middle of the season and the New England Patriots used to always pick up that guy the week that you're playing the former team.
Every time.
And, right.
Every
like time. That. There's a difference between the two things there, right?
Yeah, he finished the season with the Chiefs and ended up catching the game-winning touchdown in overtime to seal the deal and win another Lombardi. Second question, do you believe Mecole Hardman and the accusation against him? He actually leaked game plans to the Chiefs and the Eagles before the Jets played him.
Well, I obviously don't know. But I, like I said, this is not an unnamed source. Sauce Gardner, who's a very high-profile player, put his name on the accusation. And I feel like if you're going to do that, you got to be damn sure that the thing happened. Now, I don't know if Sauce Gardner's a truthful guy. I don't know if he's a guy who lies in his everyday life. But he put his name on a very serious accusation, Ian.
I still can't. I can't see it. And I don't know Mecole very well. I mean, I covered him at Georgia. Heck, the last time I talked to him was in a bye week for the Chiefs, right, when it was Georgia-Ole Miss. And, oh, by the way, yeah, he was down there, you know, with a bunch of Eagles who also had a bye week where, you know, Jordan Davis and some others were also there. N'Kobe Dean obviously was dealing with Liz Frank, Nolan Smith, you know, former first-round pick out of Georgia, you know, edge rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles. He was there as a guest picker, you know, for College Game Day. Look. That doesn't mean that just because Mecole was there also with a bunch of former teammates, you all always see in a bye week for different teams in a big game for their alma mater, they mm-hmm. all come back. Mm-hmm. You know, the ones that really are tied to the school, if you're not dealing with injuries like N'Kobe Dean was, they all come back for a big game like that, especially, you know, when game day's there. All right, the other one is, if you're Mecole and you didn't leak these game plans, what you're being accused of by Sauce Gardner and others, what the heck would you do? Because Stephen A. Smith mentioned today, that is a defamation of character, and it's potential lawsuit if you know you didn't do it.
So at 4:08 p.m. Eastern Time this afternoon, so it's only a few hours ago, Mecole Hardman tweets out, "There were false accusations made about me and my character. To set the record straight, I have never and would never leak game plans to another team. I have never been a person to give an opponent an upper hand. I always want to win, no matter the circumstances," end tweet. And SNY also reported a few days ago that the Jets organization suspects Hardman leaked their offensive game plans before the games against the Chiefs, October 1, and Eagles, October 15. The report didn't cite specific evidence.
If they can prove that, then Hardman should never be allowed in an NFL locker room ever again. I mean, he's done. You can't trust him. It's over. I mean, and every player knows that. So either he had a momentary lapse of reason and decided two of them, which is also now calculated. So it's not even a momentary lapse of reason. That's calculated. Yep. Or he's being falsely accused. There is no gray in this. It's either black or white. It's yes or no. Either he did or he didn't. And if he did and it's proven to be, if I'm the Chiefs, he's out of my locker room. He's gone. I can't trust him.
Oh, really? Even if it's the Chiefs? Because I feel like the only team he could possibly play for then at this point is the Chiefs.
Nope. He's gone. I mean, because there are other guys in that room that are friends with players on the Jets, or they may be friends with, you know. You can't trust the guy. You can't. Mm-hmm. He's out. He's gone. There is nothing that you can do to earn my trust back. Once you violate the sanctity of that room, what goes on in a locker room in the NFL or the locker room in the NBA or in the NHL or a clubhouse in Major League Baseball, or hell, man, you go to junior high, right? Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn. What happens in that room and in meetings stays. That's holy ground to the Highlander. So If he did, no, man, you're out. And you're done. If he didn't, Bubba, if I'm Miko, I am going to the end of the earth to make sure that everyone knows that I didn't, because you're talking about, as he said, my character. Not just me as a player, not just me as a person, but you're going deeper. You're saying that I basically cheated and gave other opponents of my team an edge. There is nothing that I wouldn't do to go and prove that I did not do this.
Sauce Gardner's tweet on Wednesday was, and this came after Mecole Hardman was on a podcast ripping the Jets and all of that. Sauce tweeted out, Hardman is tripping out. We ain't going to talk about how our offensive game plan got leaked versus the Eagles, though. I mean, he's not dancing around the accusation there, Ian.
Keyword accusation, but, man, it's remarkable. I mean, this story is absolutely fascinating. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, top of the hour, we'll bring in one of the next hour at the bottom half at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, a former NFL executive weighs in on what you have to do to go get a franchise quarterback. But coming up next, it's your phone calls, 888-729-3776. If you're Mecole Hardman, what would you do? If you're an NFL team, would you want him in your locker room? You are next right here on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, Jonathan Zaslow, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. Here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. In case you are just tuning in, it's Tip. We have a Bet to Your Hands Bleed on. You can live bet it. Boston and Dallas on ESPN right now. We like the Celtics -8 at Tip. Check the live line and see what catches your eye. We'll have some more coming up later on in the program. So far on the year, Bet to Your Hands Bleed 55-29-2 against the number
wow.
on ESPN Bet. So yeah, look, hey man, we're very selective. We just try and we don't bet the card. You know, we're just trying to wager on as many
trying
winners
to pay
as
the
we
mortgage.
Can.
I get it.
That's it, man. Hey, look, I got two kids going to school.
Come on,
right?
Let's
go.
I get
we got,
it.
We got college tuitions to pay. Let's go get it. All right, so on the docket right now, Mecole Hardman, Super Bowl winning receiver, Kansas City Chiefs, former Georgia Bulldog, has been accused of former teammates like Sauce Gardner with the New York Jets of leaking game plans to fellow Georgia Bulldogs with the Philadelphia Eagles and his former team and now current team, the Kansas City Chiefs, during the year where he was trying to get out of New York. Allegedly, again, leaking game plans. My questions are, one, why do this? Two, do you believe he did it? Three, what would you do if he did do it? And four, if you're Mecole Hardman and you know you didn't do this, what would you do? All legit questions. We'll get to your phone calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Zaz, you quick recap for people just tuning in, your thoughts on these accusations against Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, I don't know how much I believe Mecole Hardman's word at this point, because he did go on the podcast a few days ago that kind of started this whole cycle, and he said how he told the Kansas City Chiefs that he reached out to the GM. He called him by name, Veach. He told Pat Mahomes after a game as well, said, come get me. And then later on, when there was a little bit of a to-do made about that statement that he put out there, he then told everybody that that's not what he said, that's not what happened. Mecole, we have video of it. That's what you said, all right? It's exactly what you said. So I don't know if I could take his word when it comes to this stuff. He says something, maybe he's being truthful, and then when he realizes I said an oopsie, I got to take it back. So I don't know how trustworthy he is in this spot. And he did come out, though, defending his name just a few hours ago. Like, this is a very serious accusation that Jets players, Sauce Gardner and Kenny Aboah, and unnamed sources also in the Jets organization, as reported by SNY, that the Jets feel that he did this. These are names. A couple players' names were put next to this accusation. But I got no idea how you prove this.
Hardman did write, quote, "There were false written in all caps accusations against made about me and my character in all caps. To set the record straight, I have never and would never leak game plans to another team. I have never been a person to give an opponent an upper hand. I always want to win, no matter the circumstances." Rick in Kentucky. Rick, you're on ESPN Radio. What do you think?
Gentlemen, enjoying the show. Good work tonight.
Thank you, boss.
Let's look at the numbers. So the Jets averaged 15.8 points a game last season. They scored 20 against Philly. They scored 20 against Kansas City. Philly lost the game. So if he gave them the playbook, it didn't help either team.
Right.
So I'm going to say he probably didn't give them the playbook. And if I'm Mr. Hardman, I'm talking to an attorney right now.
Rick, thank you for your phone calls. That's your reaction.
Ian, can you say that you always want to win no matter the circumstances when the Jets wanted you to be the punt returner again? Gibson got hurt, and he didn't want to because he was mad about the whole situation, and he wasn't getting along, apparently, with the special teams coach. That doesn't sound like I want to win no matter the circumstances, right?
Yeah, and Xavier Gibson, for people who may not know, proud of Woodrow Wilson High School, where my kids go, first and foremost.
Okay.
Goes on, you know, and was, you know, SMU, Rice, other, you know, Division I schools, SMU, a top 25 team, wanted him as a cornerback, not a wide receiver. He says, nope, not going to happen. Goes to UTSA, sets all kinds of records. Next thing you know, he's an undrafted free agent as a rookie this year, has the punt return touchdown Monday Night Football week one, and the rest is literally history. But he won that job as a UDFA, undrafted free agent, coming in and beat out, to your point, Hardman for that particular job. Ananias in Houston. Ananias, your reaction to these accusations against an NFL football player who happens to be a Super Bowl champ. Ananias, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? I'm here. I'm calling from Houston, Texas. Fins up, baby.
What do you got, man? What do you think?
The Jets, as we all know, their offense was trash last year, unfortunately. The defense was not the issue. Why in the world would Mecole Hardman have to give up a game plan to stop Zach Wilson? It just does not make sense. And that's all I got to say. What's your thoughts on it?
It's hard for me to believe that any NFL player, especially one who's got a chip, would leak a game plan to – I don't care who you are. I mean, every NFL player has friends on other rosters that they played college ball with. Now, it happens that the Eagles have, like, half the damn Georgia defense from the last 2 years on their roster, from Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean, you know, Jordan Davis on down, right? So – and that's a tie there. And then he was a former Chief. But every NFL player's ass has those kinds of ties.
Mm-hmm.
This is a firm accusation, again, that if I'm Mecole Hardman and I know I didn't do this, I'm going with Rick in Kentucky. I'm going with Stephen A., what he said earlier, and that is, man, my lawyer is going to be on the phone for defamation of character, because this is about as bad as it gets, because this gets you banned from NFL locker rooms. This gets you ostracized, and you are done as an NFL player.
Like, I understand what the caller is saying there, that clearly they other teams don't need help in stopping Zach Wilson and that juggernaut of an offense that the Jets were throwing out there last year. But at the same time, the Jets organization that believes this happened, and Sauce Gardner especially, who was on the defensive side of the football for the Jets, they also know that. Like, that's not information that they have. Oh, yeah, you know what? Why would they need help in stopping Zach Wilson? They totally know that, yet they still believe that this happened.
It's a crazy story, and it's not over by any stretch of the imagination. All right, Zaz, coming up next, who would you take to quarterback your team, Brock Purdy or any quarterback in the upcoming draft? We answer that question next here on ESPN Radio.